Well, welcome back to day two, or session two, if you're one of those overachievers that already grabbed another tape. But if you did, I got a question for you. Did you do your assignment? Did you answer those questions? Because if you didn't, turn this darn tape off and go back and do it right now. Because what we're going to talk about is going to relate to those questions. Your assignment, if you remember, was number one, to write down some things you tend to focus on a lot that don't really support you. Things maybe that by focusing on would put you in a lousy state, or it frustrates you, or maybe things you focus on that you can't even control, because we're going to talk about that in this session. The second thing was, what's something that you do a lot that doesn't really give you fulfillment, that eats up your time? Because if you remember, we said in order to have more time, we got to get rid of the things that we're spending our time on right now that don't give us what we deserve, don't give us what we want. That's the only way to get more time, is to spend your time, which is the capital of your lifeblood, on the things that matter most to you. The key is more time for what matters to you. So you got to take the time. And this session is going to be about that and showing you how to find that out in more detail. And again, I don't expect you to be perfect, but write down a few answers, just a couple of things. Let yourself begin to have the awareness of what you tend to focus on and what you tend to do that doesn't serve you. And then the third question, of course, was, what's something you really want? What's an outcome you want? What's a result? Something you want to achieve, something you want to learn, something you want to create, some fun, enjoyable thing you want to make happen. What's a result you want? Think about that and why you really want it. Now, I'm going to assume that at this point you've turned up the tape, or do it now and do those questions, or that you already know those answers. So what's this session about? Well, I call it time targets. Another word for it, maybe a better title, would be the power of the zone. Because I want to show you how to get in that place where things are flowing so powerfully for you. Remember we talked about that in the last session? You know that place where like you're playing tennis and it just flows. I mean, things start happening that you don't even know you have the capability of doing. Or, you know, you all of a sudden you're cracking jokes and you just have such a great time. Another way to describe the zone I'm going to teach you about and how to get there is I think of the zone as the stress killer, the stress destroyer. Because what's amazing is it'll give you not only freedom and fulfillment, but it'll get rid of the stuff that's making your life miserable inside. You say, Tony, but I'm not miserable. I know, but don't you have moments that bug the heck out of you? Don't you have moments when you get incredibly frustrated over little stuff? Don't you have times when you're thinking to yourself, man, this is such a pain? Well, I'm not promising you'll never have those again, because that's not realistic. But I am promising you that we can reduce the amount of time you spend there radically by not only controlling your focus, but maybe developing some awareness and beginning to break our pattern of belief that stress is like part of life, especially if you're an achiever. I mean, most people kind of just grown to accept this. Because after all, I mean, people tend to live in stress these days. And success very often leads to more stress for most people. And pretty soon they're achieving things, and instead of experiencing the joy they wanted, they've got a more of a to-do list, more things they got to manage, more things they got to take on. I mean, I can give you an example. It's a terrible example. You go, poor Tony, and I'm not telling you for this reason, but all of a sudden when I have the great privilege of having more than one home and more than one business and all these different opportunities, all those things require more management, more time, more energy, more demands, more expectations from other people, all the people that you're working with, all the people that want to be communicated with, all the people you're responsible to if you have investors. So there's more and more demands, which created more and more stress. And I had to break out of that because I thought, this is stupid. It's totally stupid to be stressed about opportunity. It's totally stupid to be stressed about success. But we get seduced because we kind of just say, well, that's part of the way that things work. I mean, we've got competing desires. We want to do everything. I mean, isn't that what we're made of? But you know what? It's possible. It's more than possible to take control of this process, to really create that freedom. But I'll tell you what it takes. You've got to realize that you have choices. And you say, well, I know I have choices. Yeah, you may know that intellectually, but I mean emotionally. Most of our stress comes because we're in a position where we feel like we have no choice. Like, we have so many musts. I have to do this, and I have to do that, and I have to do this, and have to. Must. And I want to tell you something. No matter how successful you are, when you get too many musts, you're going to be stressed. I don't mean shoulds. I don't mean get-tos. I don't mean opportunities. I mean when you feel like you have to do everything, and there are more things than you can possibly do, you're going to be stressed. So the first section is to realize you're at choice. And I'll give you a little clue. My core belief is this. When you think you have one choice, you got no choice. When you think you have two options, you basically have a dilemma. You're stressed. Because you know what happens is you think, well, I got to do this or that. Either one is painful. Or I want this and I want that. I can't do them both. So now I'm stressed because I'm not getting my opportunity. I have a sense of loss about opportunity. It's silly. Let me give you a clue. There's always at least three options. Always. And when I teach people decision-making, I tell them don't ever attempt to even start making a decision until you realize there's at least three options. When you have three options, you're now at choice. So in our lives, to be at choice, we've got to develop some belief system changes about this thing called urgency. Because we all know inside that what happens for us is we get seduced by the need to do something right now, to get completion. And very often we're trying to get completion on things that don't really matter. We're trying to responding to the world. We're reacting to the demands of the environment. Remember those three things we talked about? The demands of our own fears, right? Oh, I've got to handle that because if I don't have that, it could turn into a real problem. Well, maybe it won't. Well, maybe you don't need to worry about that. Maybe you're giving too much time to what you're worried about and not enough time to what you're really after. Or how do I get some immediate good feelings? Or how do I respond to everybody's demands? Those three cause you to live in reaction, as we've already spoken about. So you've got to now say, urgency is not my friend. Urgency is the source of stress. Now, there are times in which you may enjoy urgency. And in fact, this is one of the problems. Most of us, all human beings, have a core need. We have six of them, and I talk about them if you've listened to Personal Power in depth. Because when you understand the six human needs, you instantly understand why people are doing what they're doing, whatever they're doing. No matter how insane it may seem, I can tell you this clearly. Whatever people do, they have a reason. It may not make sense to you. It may not even make sense to them consciously. But there's a reason. It's to meet one of these six needs. And I'll just tell you one of them right now. We all have a need to feel significant. A need to feel important, a need to feel like our life really matters. So very often, and in the midst of our lives, in order to feel this power and this pump and this excitement, very often we take little stuff that really doesn't matter and we make it urgent, and we take urgencies and make them feel like they're really important. Because if you're doing important things, then of course you have a very dramatic and powerful life. So one of the things we're going to find out is, where do you spend your time? Where do you put that focus? I mean, on a regular basis, like what percentage of your time goes where? Do you live in a place where you're so stressed that you spend a disproportionate amount of your time in this area of life, this dimension of time that I would call distraction? You know what I mean by that? Where just you just want to escape, man. You're in pain and I want out. And do you go do things to try and get out of pain? Go eat, go drink, go smoke, go watch a movie, do something. Not necessarily because it serves your life or your goals, but because you're trying to meet one of those immediate demands. You're trying to make yourself feel good real quick. And we all go there. We all spend some time there. I don't know anybody who doesn't. I mean, you're a human being. And it's not necessarily bad to go there. But if you spend 50% of your time there, you don't got much of a life. If you're spending 20% of your time there, you're probably losing the lifeblood of what's really important in your life by just doing something that really isn't important. And it's not even urgent. But you may make it feel that way because you want that release. But there's a better way to have that release, and that's not to get into stress as much in the first place. And the way you get yourself into stress is by not controlling your focus, by focusing on things that make you crazy inside, by making it worse than it is. Do you remember when in the last session I had you take an image and make it bigger and brighter and how to intensify things? Well, what most people do is they focus on the things they can't control or things that upset them, and they make them bigger and brighter and closer unconsciously. And so they're massively stressed. So the two secrets to being out of stress is focus on the things that really matter, not on the things you think you have to escape from, so you're spending your time being stressed, seeing how to escape, and change what things mean. The meaning is what gives you the stress or that gives you the excitement. Two people have the exact same experience. One person says, this means my life is over. The other person says, oh my God, this is a great challenge. I can't wait to get in there and kick butt. It's going to take me and my life to another level. Let's step up. The difference is meaning. So it's not only focus, it's also the meaning you attach to it. And what we tend to do is we tend to create stress one fundamental way. We take things and make them more important than they really are. If you're ever stressed, I guarantee you, you're making things much more important than it really is in the long term. I mean, a good question you might want to ask yourself when you're starting to get stressed is, how will I feel about this 10 years from now? Will it even matter? Or, you know, what's actually funny about this that I hadn't thought of? And you might say, nothing. But if it was funny, because very often people say things like, you know, 10 years, we'll probably look back on this and laugh. Well, my view is, why wait? I mean, if you can laugh 10 years from now, you can laugh right now. Change your perspective. Change what you're focusing on and change what this means. Don't wait 10 years to change what it means. You can change what it means in a moment. And the thing we got to stop doing, don't make things more important than it is. Don't sweat the small stuff. Don't spend your time, as I said before, majoring in minor things. And the only way to do that is you need to have a way to organize your thinking when you're thinking about your time. And that way of organizing I call time targets. And the reason is, most people take things that are urgent and pretend they're important. And that gives them that pump, and that also just becomes a habit. You know what I mean? Like you get addicted to a negative thing, do it over and over again. Now, all books on time management, if you read them, almost all of them throughout the last 50 years or more, talk about the idea of urgency and importance, and you got to manage it. And there's all kinds of models. There's triangle models. There's starfish models. There's models of quadrants. But one of the things I believe in is that the way we get our mind to really use something is we use a symbol that tells our brain immediately what our priorities are. A quadrant doesn't do that with four squares next to each other. So when I was thinking about this processing, how could I articulate this to you in a way that's so simple and that we could use it in the way I use it in my own head? And I thought, well, outcomes are based on targets, right? The idea of knowing what the bullseye is, that'll tell you that's the ideal place to go. Now, you may hit outer rings in a target, and you'll still get rewarded, but not at the same level emotionally or psychologically. I mean, I'm a big believer in symbols. Think about it. Human beings respond to symbols more than words. If I say to you the word Nazi, that's one thing. But if you see that red flag with a swastika on it, you get a totally different set of emotions, or an armband like that. Instantaneously it shifts you. If I say Jesus, that's one thing. But if you see a cross, there's even more association and intensity. So symbols affect our unconscious thinking, which is what we want to influence here, right? And we don't want to just have a bunch of knowledge. We want something that starts to influence our unconscious thoughts so that on a day-to-day basis, we develop new habits. And by the way, you can get a visual of this if you'll take a look in your CD package or in your tape package or in your workbook. There's a symbol there of the time target. Now let's take a look at it from the outside and let's see if we can understand how we're going to use this in a very simple and practical way to not only destroy stress, but more importantly, spend more time in the zone where we're fulfilled and where we're doing those things that are really important. Now let's start in the outer rings. As you'll see, there are four rings here. And the outer ring, just think about it as if a target you were going for. If you're going to use your bow and arrow and you're going to shoot right through the middle or you're going to fire a gun, you know what your target is. It's the center. It's the bullseye, right? That's the zone. But let's start on the outer edges first. If you didn't do so well, if you didn't have very good aim, if you weren't very focused, if you weren't very skilled, then when you went for the target of life, you might hit the outside edge. And what do we call that outside edge? Well, it's those things that are not urgent and they're not important. Now, if you spend your time doing things that are not urgent and not important, what you're really doing is escaping. In fact, I call that the dimension of distraction, because that's exactly what you're doing, right? You're distracted. This example I just gave you earlier, that's when you're going out there and doing that stuff to try and feel good in the moment because you're not very fulfilled with your daily life. Now, again, everybody does this. The only question, as I said earlier, is how much of your time do you spend there? Totally great to escape now and then. But escaping 90% of the time creates a life that not only has no fulfillment, but ultimately becomes more and more stressful because you're not doing the things that are important and you know that. And you can't have any self-esteem. You can't have a sense of certainty, a sense of power, a sense of personal identity, or a sense of meaning in your life doing stuff that doesn't matter. Tapping into emotional and psychological and physical and time candy might be nice for a time or two, but you're going to get sick if you live there. Now, the second dimension, when you get closer to the real zone, to the bullseye, is when you're doing things that are urgent but not important. Now, that's the dimension of delusion. And the reason I call it delusion is because anytime you're doing things that are urgent and they're really not important, you're deluding yourself. You're giving yourself that sense like something has to be done, that you don't have a choice. But you do. You can't allow yourself to be seduced. And one way to do that is to start to identify this. And that's what I'm going to do with you in this session. We're going to actually take a few minutes. We're going to find out what do you do in each zone. In fact, just for a second, go back to the outer ring. What do you do when it's time for you to escape? What do you do when you're stressed? I mean, truthfully, what kinds of things do you indulge in? And by the way, again, don't think of it as bad. Don't beat yourself up. Just be honest with yourself because this is about your fulfillment. And you can't really shape your life unless you figure out where you're spending your time and your emotion. Again, time is emotion. So where are you doing that? Do you watch TV? Do you put CNN on the background as white noise and have it play about five times while you do other stuff? Do you listen to music? Do you go to movies? Do you pick a fight? You know, what do? Just to have some distraction, just to get yourself out of the things that are really stressing you. What do to amuse yourself? What do to shift your emotional state quickly, but in a way that really isn't working on something that's important and it's not even urgent, really? You're just doing it to escape. Think about some of those, because in a few minutes, I'm going to have you write those down. So kind of like get that in your mind for a moment, and that'll also get you more associated. And think about this. If you hit that bullseye, which I call the zone of fulfillment, if you spend time there, imagine that as being like 1,000 emotional, psychological, spiritual points. Like it's going to feel unbelievable. if that's 1,000 points on the bullseye, this outer ring of distraction and escape, it might be worth 5 points. And that's one of the reasons it's like empty calories, right? It's like eating something feels okay for the second, but boy, it's gone there afterwards, and you actually feel bad about it afterwards because you know nothing's better. Now, if we come in a dimension closer to the bullseye and we take a look at that section, what do you do very often that is kind of urgent, but it's not important? Well, the obvious ones are like the telephone. I remember one time I was sitting in a meeting with this man. We were talking about negotiating an extraordinary business opportunity for both of us. We were in a very important point of discussion, and there was a lot of passion and energy, and the phone rang. And my assistant had failed to put on the voicemail. And so it rang and rang, and about the third ring, first ring, he just kind of jarred him. The second ring, he looked at me. The third ring, he got anxiety that I'd not picked up the phone. I mean, we're here talking about what's important to each of us, and I'm going to run and grab the phone. And finally, on the fourth ring, he said, "Aren't you going to pick it up?" And I said, "No. Why would I? Isn't this an important conversation we're having?" He said, "Well, yeah, but the phone's ringing." I said, "Yeah, but you want me to do something that's urgent but not important? Now let's stay together and work on this. Let's not lose our momentum." And it rang a fifth time, a sixth time. I could just see him. His veins, his neck started to stretch out. I mean, I can tell this guy is stressed because he lives in reaction. He can't even not pick up the phone. And you know what? I'm not judging him because I used to be the exact same way. You know, and we're smart people. We don't want to respond to things that are urgent and not important. Then wonder, you get on the phone, you answer it, and you talk for 15 or 20 minutes, or you get hooked into another conversation, and something more important is gone. And you go, "God, what happened to my week? What happened to my day?" You say, "Well, Tony, I can't help but do that. In my business, I'm a fireman. I've got to respond to things. I have to respond." You know what? There are better strategies. There's ways to organize specific times in which you return calls and take calls so you can develop what I call block time. So that when you're doing that, that's your whole focus, as opposed to having it interrupt your flow of creativity or thought or emotion or relationship with another person. Or how about just relationship with your own self, with your own thoughts, with your own feelings, all because you're doing something urgent. And that urgency, whether you realize or not, creates stress. Now, you may like it as a distraction, but it's not important and it's not going to give you the juice you deserve. Does that make sense? If it does, then think about, what do you tend to do? What else fits this category of the dimension of delusion, where you're deluding yourself into thinking you have to do something just because it's urgent, but it's not really important? I'll tell you one, emails. Now, not all, but I don't know about you, but once people had my email address, every person on earth who can write anything that makes no sense whatsoever, and they can copy the earth on it, they can push one button and the entire earth gets their email. And I was getting so much email, and I found myself, you know, late at night, I've got other things to do that are important. I really need to get myself to sleep eventually here. And I flip on my email, and there's 30 emails. And I feel like, oh, I got to see who it is, and I got to respond. I'm clicking and reading and clicking and reading and clicking and reading. And I got to respond back and type the notes, and that typing takes longer than talking. So I thought, this is stupid. These things, let me scan through and see if there's anything important here. You know, and do I even need to do that? Can I have someone else do that and then bring it to me? So I'm not getting hooked by all the urgencies of the moment. It's fine if I want to escape, but I don't want to give myself the illusion or the delusion that this is important. Now, there may be some, but those are the only ones I should respond to. Can you relate at all? What else fits into your life that just robs you of time that could really be given to something else that matters to you? What else do you do that, boy, it's urgency? Someone else comes in and says, "We got to get this done. We got to get done right now." You know, I've learned to ask. I'd say, you know what? I really want to support you. Tell me what the result is you're after here. Tell me why this is important to you. What's that called? O&P of OPA. Okay, and then tell me what you think needs to be done. And they tell me. I say, you know what? I think I can get you that result without having to go through all that. And now that I know your outcome and I know why you want it, what if we did this instead? And people go, "Wow, that's a great idea." See, I don't let people come and stick their monkeys on my back as little as possible anyway. I think I fail every now and then. We all do. We're human. But for the most part, I've gotten really good at saying, "Tell me. Don't tell me your urgency. Tell me the result you're after. What's the outcome?" Because I know if I know their outcome and why they want it, I may be able to come up with a better way. I might come up with a way that's more efficient. I don't want their to-do list. I don't want to take their to-do list and their urgency and their stress and put it in my life and then wonder why, gosh, there's no time for my family or for myself or to exercise or just to hang out and listen to some music that I enjoy because I'm consciously choosing to do that. Does that make sense? So we want to be able to take control of that process. You don't want to get hooked into other people's demands. Remember, that's one of the things that makes you reactionary. Again, there may be situations where you must, but we want to limit those. We want to spend less time. And the only ones are the ones that are a must is when it's really urgent and it's really important. Because what I'll say to them is, okay, I'm willing to do this, but you know what? I cannot do it today. Or I'll even tell them, I won't do it today. I choose not to do it today. I have too many other things that are important. I know this is urgent, but wouldn't you agree this thing I'm doing here is more important? And I go, oh, yeah. And I said, so do you have another way? And very often they'll go away and come up with a new way to do it without me, which makes my heart pitter-patter because I got more juice from my own life now. I'm not caught up in that. And you know what? When you do that enough with people, they start to come in and say, well, they pause and they go, there's this thing I want you to do. And they go, I know you're going to ask me what the result I want is. And very often people are doing stuff they don't have to do because it's not result-driven. And they go, well, here's my outcome, and here's why I want to do it. And they go, you know what? I actually don't need your help. I just figured it out myself. And I've trained people to do that, and I'll tell you what, it's given me so much freedom. I mean, again, how are you going to run 7 companies with all these people and have everybody come to you for every answer? I mean, then you don't have companies. You have little entrepreneurships. I mean, that's insane. Then I'm not empowering anybody. Nobody grows. Nobody expands. That also happens in your family life. I don't want to solve my children's problems. I want to teach my children to be problem solvers. So when they come in, they got all this urgency. I said, listen, I want to help you for sure, but can you first tell me what it is you really want? And can you tell me why? And then tell me something. How else could you get this done? And then I become a coach. You know, do you have to do all that to get that? Maybe there's a better way. What's the better way? What do you think? And so I train my children to think that way. That's why they become so successful in the various aspects of their lives. I'm really proud of them, but it's because they've taken on a simple system of thinking. You don't have to carry a binder around to do that. That's just a thinking process that gives you more result. Now, let's go in one ring deeper. Now we're real close to the bullseye. And this is a place you probably spend a lot of time, especially if you're an achiever. And that's when you're doing things that are urgent and important. Now, that's the place that most achievers absolutely live and breathe and die. And what I mean by that is, here's what I call the dimension of demand. And it's a demand because there's so much urgency and you know it's important, so you feel like, man, it has to be done. This is a must, not a should in my life. And very often that's accurate. What fits in this category? Well, some things legitimately do. You know, if suddenly you get a phone call and you've got there your child on the line and they broke their arm, or it's somebody at the hospital, you got something that's immediately urgent and very important, and obviously you're going to need to go and do that. You're going to have an immediate demand. But very often somebody calls up and they say, we got this product, we got this thing, we have it developed, it's got to be done by tomorrow morning. And very often they are right. It is urgent and important because they didn't do it when it was just important. They waited till it also became urgent and had this demand, because most people don't have what you're going to learn in the next session. Our next session is going to be, how do you organize your life and anticipate the areas of your life you need to continuously focus on to have your life and or your business really work? They're called categories of improvement. It's going to be a fabulous tool for you that's going to help you balance your life extraordinarily well. But the point of the matter is, they're caught up in these things. All these deadlines and things that show up very often are important and urgent, but very often they could have been handled differently. And you wouldn't have to spend so much time there. What are some of the things that you do on a regular basis that are urgent and important? Legitimately so. You say, well, I have these deadlines in my business. Well, I have these things I've got to do with my kids. Well, I have these things I got to do within myself. Well, I got to go see the doctor. Well, it's urgent and important when there's a problem with the doctor. But if you'd done some things upstream, you wouldn't have to be urgent about seeing the doctor. You could have handled things in advance. The doctor would have been a simple checkup because you've been taking care of your health. Do you follow me on this? So we want to spend less time there. And if you're stressed, I know that a significant part of your time is in that dimension. And one of the reasons is it gives you a sense of significance. It makes you feel important. And one of the reasons is that life creates a large number of demands, especially when you expand your life and make it more complex. We can always simplify it, but most of us tend to make it more complex because our desires cause us to expand and to grow and take more on. And there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, I think it's fantastic. That's what makes us grow and expand, and that's what makes us fulfilled. Achieving, learning, breaking through, having demands made on us that make us strong. I mean, think about it. How do you build a muscle? You make huge demands on it, and you do it over and over and over again. And those demands cause that muscle, when you make a huge demand on it, it grows to meet the challenge. And now, what used to be hard to do is easy. You're going to experience that with OPA. We're going to expand massively your capacity to manage multiple things in your life in a totally fulfilled way. And many of you, as soon as you have that and you're completely unstressed and you're excited and you're doing everything at an impeccable level and you're feeling fulfilled and energetic, you'll immediately take on 10 new things because you have an expanded capacity. And pretty soon you'll have more on your plate than your current capacity and you're going to have to expand again. Fortunately, the system I'm going to teach you will allow you to do that. So let's get to the zone, what we're here to talk about. This is where we want to spend our time, the zone of fulfillment. And that's doing things, spending your time, your energy, your emotion, your focus on things that are truly important to you but are not urgent at this stage. Now, what would fit that category? Well, probably things for your health, for example. They're not urgent for most people unless they're starting to break down. Exercise, taking care of your diet, being able to stop and just think and maybe listen to the whispers of destiny. What should I be doing in my life? Where should I be going? How am I doing? How can I improve what my life's about? Maybe it's time, spiritual time. In the urgency of daily life, most people don't take any time to commune with nature, with their creator, with themselves. What else fits this category? Time with your family. Time with your friends. You know, most people don't even spend time at dinner anymore. You know, it's brief. It's a download of the day. I did this. What'd you do? Oh, yeah, I did that too. Okay, great. Let's eat. All right, let's watch a little TV so we can get out of the stress. You know, let's distract ourselves in some way and let's get to bed so we can get up in the morning and start all over again and have another bowl of stress for breakfast. And wonder why, gosh, you know, what's happened to our relationship? Because I want to remind you of something. When you're spending time in stress, it doesn't just affect you. Who else does it affect? Your friends, your family, your coworkers, your children. Have you ever snapped at somebody and had nothing to do with them whatsoever? It was just the state you're in? Because you felt overwhelmed, because you had this massive to-do list that you didn't know how to manage, and all you knew is you had all these things to do that were all urgent and important, and you wonder why you're stressed all the time because you're in that dimension of demand, 29 hours a day? And there's only 24, but you got stretched out the 29 somehow in your head? Are you doing it with your language? Are you making things much more intense than they need to be? This person stabbed me in the back. That might intensify it. What really happened? They ripped my heart out. What happened? They squashed my brain. They stuck me to a rock in a hard place. You know, they took vital parts of my body and slammed the door on them. You know, we tend very often, out of our need for importance, to expand the dimension of intensity. When really what happened is the person did something you didn't want them to do. That feels different, doesn't it? Well, we're going to talk more about the power of language to make you stressed or make you filled with joy in the next tape. But right now, just think about, what's the zone for you? Maybe planning is part of the zone. Planning is not urgent, right? But is it important? You bet it is, because when you don't do it, you know the phrase we talked about in the last session. If you fail to plan, you're planning to fail. If you don't have a plan for your own life, you're going to fit into somebody else's plan for your life. And I guarantee they don't have your best wishes at mine. They just want to make sure they get their result. So what is in there? Planning, your health, time with friends, family, time for yourself. Maybe skill development things that aren't urgent right now, but going to develop a new skill, whether it be the computer or another language or a thought process or learning OPA. These are things that are important but not urgent. And you know what? Since they're not urgent, here's what will happen to a lot of people. You'll listen to a tape or two or three, and then you become like those people who have a life that is not fulfilled. You'll say, oh, yeah, I really got to listen to that, but, you know, I don't have 45 minutes today. After all, the first tape you made was a couple hours, 90 minutes. I don't have that kind of time in my life to figure out how to make my life work, even though there's only about 7 days of it, or one day where I basically take in every tape 20 hours a day. See, you don't want to get seduced, and what we get seduced by is we start doing things that are urgent, and we leave out the important thing. Is learning a system for managing your life critically important to your life, yes or no? Then one of the ways to make sure you follow through and get results is remember your purpose. Did you do that yesterday? I left that one out at the beginning of this tape. The fourth assignment was, why must you master this? Why is this not a should for you, but a must, that it's that important? Purpose creates the drive to follow through. And if you understand how important it is to spend your time in the zone, then you're going to start getting incredible results. But let's first do this. Let's do a little assignment together right now. Let's get to it. It's great to have this intellectual construct about a target and where you spend your time, but it's more valuable to get a reality check. And I'll tell you what we should do first. I'd like you to stop for a second and think about, if you had more time, I mean, if you really had more time, and you wanted in, let's say, in an average of a week, you could get a couple more hours that right now just don't exist, what would you do with it? I mean, if you really had more time, think about this for a second. If you really had more time, what's something you'd love to learn, or a class you'd like to take, or something you'd like to go do if you had a couple extra hours a week that were non-stressful hours, they were just for you? 2 hours, 3 hours, even 4 hours. What are some things you'd really like to learn or grow or do? When I ask most people this, their whole face changes. First they go, well, I don't have the time. And I said, well, let's pretend for a moment you did. If you really had the time, what would you do? And people say things, well, I'd go out fishing. You know, I said, well, how long would that take? And they say, well, you know, a couple hours. Well, that's interesting. Or someone will say, well, gosh, I'd love to learn to sing. You know, and I don't have time for that. I mean, just, you know, and it doesn't make sense. I'm a business person. I'm not going to take some singing lessons. I'm never going to use it. Well, maybe you'd enjoy yourself immensely if you did that. Maybe your spirit would feel like it was being lifted, and it would show up in the way you treat people, and it would show up in all the other areas of your life. You know, very often the little things in life make the biggest difference in how we feel about ourselves, how we feel about our life and the direction of it. They affect everything else. If there's a part of you that's not being nurtured and it's important to you at some level, then you know what? Taking the time to do that would be valuable. But I know right now you don't think you have the time, more than likely. But if you did, somebody said, well, I'd spend time with my kids where I wasn't so rushed. You know, I'd really spend time reading them stories. Or, you know, we take 3 hours and we go do X. Or I'd take up tennis, you know, and I'd play like 3 times a week. You know, that'd take me 4 or 5 hours, you know, between traveling and being there and stuff. That would be great. I mean, that would add a lot to my life. Or I'd take a yoga class. You know, I'd start every morning with that. It'd be like 5 hours a week for me. You know what? You can easily find 3 to 12 or even 15 hours in your week. In fact, many people, when I take them through a process called the Windows of Opportunity, which will be available to you, it's on software, I can help you to see a time accounting of where you're spending every minute. But I don't just have you write down every minute like some diary. It's a total pain in the rear. I have you see, where are you spending your time? Are you spending on things that really feel good and are also good for you and good for others? Are you spending most of your time there? Or are you spending a lot of your time doing things that don't feel good and are good for you but doesn't feel great? Or are you spending your time doing things that don't feel good and aren't good for you just because you think you have to because the demands of the environment? Or you're spending time escaping, doing things that feel good for the moment, but you know aren't good for you long term. They're not really important. And that's why there's this emptiness. That's why people say, is this all there is, even after they've achieved something? So I want you to think for a moment. What would you spend your time on? What would you invest your time in that would just be great? Not more of all the things you think you have to do, the things you'd really want to do. Now that you've done that, let's see where you're spending your time. And let's see if we might even just in a cursory look at your life, find out if there's some of that time available. Again, you can do the Windows of Opportunity software in more detail and find out exactly where that time is. I've never had anyone, by the way, actually go through the Windows of Opportunity process, this little system we have, and come out saying, I don't have more time. In fact, almost always they come back and say, oh my God, I have no idea I had so much time. I'm doing so much time. I'm spending so much of my time, I should say, on things that don't really matter to me. You know, but I'm doing because it makes me feel important, or I'm working all these extra hours because then I can say to other people, you think you got it tough. I got it even more tough. We're weird with we human beings. To meet our needs, we'll do weird stuff. So now that you know some things you want, let's do a little mini time accounting if we could. On your page there in your life planner, in your journal, or in your diary if you're doing it this way, or there in the little pamphlet, here's what I want you to do. I want you to look at these 4 dimensions of time. I don't call them 4 zones. The zone is that absolute bullseye. That's when you're doing those things that are important but not urgent. But each dimension, the dimension of distraction, right? That's the escape dimension. That's where you're doing things that are not urgent and not important just to escape. Let's start with that one. Look at that box, and I want you to write down what are the things you did last week. I want you to think of last week for a moment. Because my goal is to find out not only what you did, but where did you spend the majority of your time? Did you spend 10% of your time here? 20, 40, 50%? Where'd you go? So I want you to write down everything you can remember you did last week that was for distraction. So I'll help you out here. Pull it out, I'll put it in front of you, and let's walk through some of it together, and then I'll let you work on it by yourself as well to fill in the details. 1, what did you do last week just to change the way you felt? That really wasn't important. Did you go eat when you really weren't hungry? Did you flip on the TV set just out of habit or to watch something just to change the way you felt? Did you go out and read the newspaper just because you wanted to be caught up in those incredibly powerful events that are happening in society that make no difference whatsoever to your life but actually feed you more things to be upset about? Did you follow a sports team that you really don't care about just for distraction? Watch a game. What did you do? Did you spend a lot of time on the phone just having conversations that really weren't even that enjoyable? And they weren't that important, but they were just a good distraction. Did you spend time surfing the net for no good reason because you're just there? Did you just get on a chat line and have inane conversations about stuff that doesn't even slightly matter to someone you'll never see and has no significance whatsoever, but boy, is that a nice distraction. You know, did you sit and read somebody else's conversation so you could be a voyeur and see how stupid and insane other people are and make yourself feel good by contrast? Do you spend time reading inane magazines with stories that you know don't make any sense? Do you live in Elle, Redbook, Cosmo, or the Robb Report, for that matter? Or, you know, it's looking at magazines with all these ads when really the magazine is just a giant advertisement for stuff for you to buy. I mean, it's okay, but how much time did you spend there? Did you watch Jerry Springer, for God's sakes? Did you lower yourself to that level? He's beating Oprah these days. It's unbelievable, right? Did you decide to become a guest on Jerry Springer because you have no life and you need some kind of significance? I mean, what did you do for distraction this week? What did you do to escape? Write them all down. Go ahead and take a minute to do that. I'll stop talking, and you can shut off the tape. Go ahead. Either I'll stop talking, you'll shut off the tape. One of the two is going to happen. Go ahead. Okay, I'm back. How'd you do? Now, here's one of the things I want to make sure you also do that I should have been more explicit about. How much time did you spend last week doing those things? And by the way, let me give you a little clue. You'll never know the truth because you'll exaggerate in your head that it wasn't that much because you know it wasn't that important. But really stop for a second. How much time did you spend reading the newspaper over the course of the week or reading those magazines? Was it 30 minutes total? Was it an hour? Was it an hour and a half? Most people spend at least an hour a week. Most of them about 90 minutes just reading newspapers, magazines. Did you watch CNN for the whole week? Did you watch it at least once, if not two or three times in the background? Well, guess what? 30 minutes at least once, five times a week, even if you didn't watch it on the weekends. How much time is that? 2.5 hours of your week. Now, what else did you do? Look at the time. Just look at the time. And you may have discovered in this area alone, you could already be doing those things that are really important to you, but not urgent. You could probably free up, just in the dimension of distraction, many of you, 1 or 2 or 3 hours, some of you more. Some of you are watching television an average of 2 hours a night. If you're doing that 2 hours a night just to have an escape, and very often you get seduced, you think, I'm going to watch one show and you watch another, and most of the shows don't really fulfill you. They're not even that darn good. I mean, think about it. And so what happens is the time goes by. You're not having conversation with somebody you love. You're glued to the screen. You're missing out on the real emotion, the juice, and the connection that makes a relationship expand, that stimulates you mentally and emotionally. So if you're doing that thing 2 hours a night and you're only doing it 5 days a week, that's 10 hours. In 10 hours a week, you could sing. In 10 hours a week, you could become a dancer. In 10 hours a week, you could become incredibly proficient in a new skill. At 10 hours a week, 40 hours a month, that's 480 hours a year. That's the equivalent of 68-hour workdays. That's 2 months of your life that you're throwing away watching television if you're just watching 2 hours a night. You know what's really scary? The average American today watches 7 hours a day. That's the national average, even with the internet now pulling from them. That means if you're not watching seven, somebody else is watching more. How's that for a scary thought? And they're going, gosh, I wonder why my life's not fulfilled. I wonder why I feel so stressed all the time. And I have no time, absolutely no time. Because what they're doing is they're stressed all day, so they come home to escape because they're doing things that are not important, but urgent. Or urgent and important because they didn't take the time to plan it, to think it through, to get creative, to know what their real outcome was. They went through a day of to-dos without a real sense of meaning. Remember what I said? Activity without a sense of your purpose, empowering purpose, is the drain to fulfillment. It's the drain to your success. It's the drain to a life of joy. So just take a look, even in this section alone. Now, many of you say, no, Tony, I have almost no time here. I spend maybe 20 minutes a week here. That's probably unlikely. But if you did, that's okay. Let's look at the next dimension, the dimension of delusion. What are the things you do, and let's write them down, on a regular basis that grab your attention, you invest your emotion, because that's your time, right? If you think about it, that's time, that's feeling, or you invest traditionally what you consider to be activity, time, into this. Like, for example, when you first come home, is the first thing you do when you just left the office and you really want to release, do you immediately go in and listen to your voicemail or to your phone messages? As if they're like really the first thing that's going to be important when you finally arrive home. No, not go sit down with your kids, not hang out with the person you love, not just sit down and think about what you want, not great. Go and get more to-dos because you just don't have enough of them. So let's find some more. I'm just like, I used to do this all the time. One day I hit myself on the side of the head and I said, are you an idiot? Why would you run around doing this? This is not important. If it's really important, I would have found out about it already. Somebody got to reach me earlier in the day. I'll listen to it later. Let me figure out what's most important to me so I'm not living in reaction now to some phone messages that now I feel a sense of, oh my God, I got to return these calls so I have a sense of completion. You know, we so often get urgency because we want completion. We want to just have it done because we don't want more on our to-do list. Isn't that true? We hear it, we go, I'll get this thing done because I don't want my to-do list to get any longer because I'm already so stressed about it. What are the things you do that are urgent but not important? And what did you do this week that was urgent but not important? The truth is, you didn't have to do it. You just made yourself believe you had to do it. And what are some things that fit that category? And by the way, whenever I do this with people, this is the hardest list for them to come up with. You know why? Because you go, gosh, not me. Well, maybe the answering thing. Maybe I do that. Maybe I, you know, spend a lot of time responding to faxes that I really didn't have to do. Someone else could have done it. Or I didn't have to do it tonight. I could have done it later. And, yeah, he's probably right because I don't want to have more of a to-do list tomorrow. So I go do it today because I don't want to be stressed tomorrow because I've already got my to-do list that's going to stress me out tomorrow. So why add more stress tomorrow when I could have stress right now? Right? But a lot of people say, other than that, I really, you know, honestly, there's nothing that fits that category for me. You know why you think that? It's not because it's true. It's because you make urgent things important. Because you make things more important than they really are. And you want that completion because you don't have your life in balance. So you probably have a hard time with this list, many of you, but do your best. What are some things you did this last week you spent time on that you didn't have to spend time on this week? It was somebody else's urgency that you took on. It was something else you did. And by the way, I want to remind you, it isn't bad to spend time in either one of these two zones. It's not bad to go read Cosmo. It's not bad to hang out with a Robert Porter, to watch TV or CNN. I do a lot of those things. What would be destructive to the quality of your life would be to spend a disproportionate amount of your time in those locations. So don't get me wrong. This is not about making yourself wrong, and this is not about feeling bad about what you did last week. It's totally fine. Let's just discover where you are. Because I know something. If you had a great week last week, I know the percentages you used. Because I've done this with so many people from 65 countries, from different areas. People that own their own businesses, people that work for other people, people that are just getting started in their careers, people that have retired. And I can tell you, whether you're fulfilled or whether you're in stress has to do with what percentage of time do you spend in each of these dimensions of time. So let's just discover what it is. So let's have you real quickly write down, what are some things you did this last week that really you didn't have to do at that time? But you did it at that time rather than dealing with it. Or maybe you didn't have to do it all. It really wasn't important, but you felt like you had to do it. There's lots of things you think you have to do that, truthfully, if you didn't do them at all, they go away. You know? I mean, those are the things you should write down. So do that right now. Stop the tape. Okay, I'm back. Did you come up with your list? Did you discover those things that you think you gotta do? And by the way, a lot of those are things maybe that you worked hard all day long and then you came home and there was like a new personal list you had to deal with. And so as long as you got to-do lists, you're stressed. And as I'm talking about this, I'm obviously here in my studio here in Fiji, and I have here my audio producer, my personal assistant, Tina, and I got this gentleman here with me who's been making my voice sound decent again and making it sound good. And so you're saying, well, but what about my personal life? And people have my own list. So I decided we'd have a special guest right here in the studio. This is a question and answer. This is Roger Love. Roger, would you like to share with me what you just shared? Go ahead, Roger.
I was just explaining to Tony. He asked me for more of my to-do lists. And I said, all day I'm working on my to-do lists. And one of the things that happens to me is I show up home. I'm ready to relax. I'm ready to see my wife, my child. I walk in the door. My wife says, hi, honey. You know what? I've got a list of 1,000 things that just happen to be on her to-do list that she figures that I could take care of now. Oh, you forgot. You know what? You've got to call the caterers for my mother-in-law's party. You've got to find the right preschool for Madison. And now I walk into what I'm thinking is a safety zone, and I'm surrounded by a huge to-do list that isn't even got my name on the top of it.
There's no hope for you. Thank you, Roger. I had Roger share that because I'm sure there's many of you thinking the same thing. And boy, Roger, you're going to lose some major points with your wife when she hears this story on tapes around the world. But you know what? It's true, isn't it? So many people, they feel like, oh my gosh, I got all these things to do. I finally think I got it handled, and I come home to more urgencies. I don't have a safe place. I mean, I've heard so many people say that. That's why I grabbed them and had them just share it. So if you can relate to that, I just want you to know that one of the things we're going to show you how to do is get leverage. I might as well talk about it right now. I believe that it's insane to spend your time doing things that don't matter to you that someone else could do for you. You go, well, easy for you. You got all these businesses, people work for you, or you've made a lot of money, so you can afford somebody like this. I'm here to tell you right now that that's not true. That when I had no money, when I was just starting out, one of the things that helped me to become successful is I operated from a simple belief structure, and that was, I want to make sure that I am spending most of my time doing things that matter to me, that are important, that aren't just urgent for the moment. And what happened, though, was there were a lot of things I thought were important, like picking up my cleaning. You know, and I'd be in the middle of it, and I didn't do it, and all of a sudden I'd be in the middle of a really important meeting, a zone meeting, right, with somebody that really mattered business-wise, and we're going to do something. Or I'm in the midst of my creativity, or I'm relaxing with my wife. and we're talking about something that's really wonderful, and I go, oh my God, look at the time. Oh my God, I gotta get my suits because I gotta get on a plane tomorrow to go to these meetings, and I don't have my suits. Oh my God, I gotta go there. And then I jump in the car, and then I race over there with veins popping out of my neck, with road rage pouring through my system, going, my God, I gotta get to my suits. I gotta get to Cleveland before they close. And I get there, and I'd be sweating, and I'd just make it in time, and I'd get it. I used to do this on a regular basis. And I go, gosh, I wonder why my life feels so stressful. Because I had about 36 of those things. And one day I said, this is stupid. I want to spend more of my time in the zone. How do I do that? A lot of these things are important. They're getting urgent because they weren't handled sooner. So there's a lot of system solutions, like having more than two suits. When you're first starting out, you don't have much money. That wasn't a solution. So I thought, okay, there's another solution. I have got to get the cleaners to deliver to my house. There must be some cleaners that'll do that. And if there isn't, maybe I'll convince somebody to create a new business for themselves and use me as the test. You know, I'm not enough business to do that, but what the heck? And I thought, or maybe I can trade with somebody. That's what I did in the beginning. I said, you know, I need a personal assistant. I need somebody to do all this urgent stuff that really doesn't matter in my life. And then if I want to go read a magazine, or I want to go, you know, just have fun or not think about it. The biggest shift in your life is when you start using leverage. When you start saying, what are the things I'm doing right now that really aren't that important? Or maybe they're important, but they're not urgent to me. They shouldn't be. That someone else could do for me. And Roger's saying, wow, that makes so much sense to me. He said, you know, in my singing lessons, I realized all these hours each week calling people, setting appointments, organizing. He said, when I go back, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to immediately hire somebody to do that. Because he said, for the amount of time that I'm spending right now each week calling people just to make sure I set up a time to meet, he said, for that, I could do one or two more lessons. And I love doing lessons. That's my absolute passion. Plus, the money I make would more than pay for that person. But see, we have to change that dimension in our mind that says we have to do it, right? Do what you do best. Get other people to do the rest as much as possible. I know that isn't practical in every single situation. But if you're saying I can't do that right now, but you invested in a tape program that was a couple $100 or more, then the truth is you can find a way. But you got to make finding somebody a must. Am I making sense there? Leverage is power. That's how you can stay in the zone. So I wasn't going to talk to you about this until later. It was going to be my final piece to hit you with on this tape. But what the heck? Let's go to the next dimension. Let's look at this dimension. And this is the dimension where a lot of you spend a lot of time. Now, by the way, let me back up a second. Did you write down the amount of time you spent on these activities? And again, don't delude yourself, since it's the dimension of delusion. Get real about how much time you spent. Usually it's much more than you realize. How much thinking time did you spend on those things that were urgent, thinking, I got to handle it. Because that worry time is time. Time is emotion. I know I say that over and over again, but I want that repetition of that thought to start to become a thought inside of you. So you say, hey, listen, if I'm spending time focusing on this and it's making me crazy, that I'm using up my lifeblood. I'm using up my time right now. My emotion is my time. It's the most valuable part of my time. So make sure you write down the amount of time you spent worrying or actually doing these things that were urgent but not important, and just put it down in terms of the hours of the week. And I know you're not going to remember everything, but do your best. Here's the third dimension, the dimension of things that are urgent and important, the dimension of time we call the dimension of demand. This is where the stress really shows up. The other ones, you know, inherently, you know, you don't have to do. But this is the ones where you feel like, this is my must list. Remember I said earlier, stress comes from having too many musts, not enough get-tos, not enough opportunities, not enough sense of freedom, not a sense of choice, but a sense of have to. That's what makes you nuts inside. So where do you spend time? Where did you in this last week? Because we're going to look at 1 week here. And I want you to think about all the things you said were urgent and important. And by the way, you know, we're not here to score you and give you a grade and tell you, oh, you're good or you're bad. This is for you to discover. So you can say, if I was stressed, is there a pattern here I can notice? If I had the greatest week of my life, there's a pattern here. Let's see if I can notice what it is, because as you become aware of patterns, they empower you. With that awareness, you can know exactly what to do in the future to get the results you want and to get the fulfillment you want. So what have you done in this area? What was urgent and important that you spend most of your time on this last week? Stop the tape right now and fill it out. Okay, we're back again. So the question is, so what'd you come up with that was urgent and important? And by the way, when people start making this list, they start kind of freaking out inside. They go, yeah, but they're almost defensive. Like, yeah, but it is urgent and it is important. Listen, I'm not making you wrong. A lot of your life is urgent and important. Hang out. Relax. This is not a personal attack on your life, for God's sakes. Now, think about it. What are the kinds of things that tend to be urgent and important? Well, The urgency comes because there's an immediate demand that is legitimate because the outcome is extremely important in a specific time period. So, for example, if your kids all of a sudden have a problem, they're upset, or somebody in your family is really upset, upsets tend to create urgency. You want to resolve them now. And since that person's important to you, you make it urgent and important, and that's probably very legitimate. So you don't have to worry about that. Just figure out how much time you spent doing that. And by the way, I will tell you that very often, if you'd spent more time in the zone with those people, those upsets wouldn't have happened. See, if you'd had an area of your life, which I call a category of constant improvement, we're constantly figuring out ways to do things that absolutely impact your family or your lover on a deeper level, then very often the stuff that normally shows up as an upset doesn't show up at all, and you don't have that extra demand. It's that we haven't handled it up front. Now, that's not true of everything. You know, there might be a business call. You had a conference call with somebody. You had it all planned out, and then they called and said, we can only do it at this time, and I'm going to be gone, and so here's what's got to happen. And you might say, you know, that is important, and it's urgent, and I got to respond. Now, maybe I can train people not to do that in the future, or my clients, but sometimes you're in the business where that's necessary. Again, I was talking to Roger during the break here, and he was saying, you know, he got this person who called him up, and it's this famous personality, and they lost their voice, and they need to be on the air that day. So he's got to drop everything because that's his job. And this is urgent. It's very important to this person. It's important to him and his relationship with that person, but it has to happen at a certain time period now. So that's a natural, urgent, and important example. What else fits this concept? Well, you might say, well, I have some phone calls that were urgent important. Were they urgent important, truthfully, because you didn't deal with them and anticipate them in advance? Somebody said to me, well, I had to plan the Passover dinner, and I mean, it was all happening, and I had to get it all done. I said, no, you didn't. That's what leverage is for. Plus, you could have planned that thing upstream. Urgency equals stress. You're going to have some of it anyway. Just don't get addicted to it. Some will say, well, my whole life is urgent. Well, that's because you want to feel important. That's because you want to feel like, well, you're in control of it, and because you're so to-do list driven. You're constantly looking at the activity instead of backing up and saying, what's my outcome for Passover? You know, what would be the absolute ideal? What do I want to have happen? I want to feel this connection with my Creator. I want this history of my religion to be shared with my kids in a way that really is meaningful. What are my ultimate outcomes, and why is that important to me? Now, all of a sudden, you're putting yourself into the zone, aren't you? See, OPA puts you in the zone. It causes you to ask what's most important. It causes you to ask why it's important to you. And then how to do it, there's lots of ways to do it. And there are ways to get leverage to make that happen. And again, you go, Tony, you're leverage crazy. I can't leverage these things. You know, someone said to me, well, I'll tell you what's urgent and important. I had packed to go on a trip like this. And I, you know, it was the last week. It was the last minute we're doing this thing. And I had to get the flights. And I had to figure out how to get here. And I had to talk to my travel agent. And I had to get all my stuff together. And I had to lay it all out. And I create a list. And da, da, da. See, that's where pathways to power and leverage work together. So what is a pathway to power anyway? Well, we're going to talk more about this later. But it's noticing patterns. Listen, for 21 years of my life, that's what I've done. I've looked for patterns. And you don't have to be too smart, as I say, when you've been with this many people to start seeing people that succeed do certain things over and over again. People who succeed and are fulfilled, real successful people, they're happy, they love their life. They're doing very different things in the way they think and conduct their life and conduct their time than people that are frustrated and overwhelmed. And I'll tell you something, you're never going to live a life where you're trying to meet all these demands without starting to recognize, I'm going to make lots of trips. See, I know these things. I know that this is something that has to happen on an ongoing basis. Am I the best person to do it? So, you know, that's why I got a personal assistant. Her name is Tina. She's extraordinary, and she relieves all that stress from my life. Because what she does is she handles all those things. So I don't have to deal with the urgent and important things. I can call Tina and say, this is urgent and important. Put it towards the top of your list. Got to get it done today. She handles it all. So I don't go and figure out how to pack. I don't figure out when to fly and when the flights are. She figures them out. She finds the options. She gives me the choices. I have a two-minute conversation, and every detail is handled. Where I used to spend 4 or 5 hours that week getting all that together, packing it, getting it together. Where am I going? Making the decision, making the choice. I don't do that. And by the way, Tina, who's running so much of my life, all those urgent and important things, she's the person that I go to with that, and she's handling an amazing amount. She'd get overwhelmed, too. So sure enough, she's listening to me explain to other people how to manage their lives, and I'm explaining about how when I had absolutely nothing, I realized I'd never have anything in my life in terms of achievement or fulfillment if I kept doing that, and that I found a way to trade. So she, in essence, listened to the equivalent of what you're listening to right now, but she was smart enough to say, hey, if he could do that back then, I can do it, too. I need my own personal assistant. And so she figured out how to get that person. She thought, well, what could I trade for? And she said, well, I can teach someone English who doesn't know it very well. And that person can do those things for me, those day-to-day things. In fact, I tease her all the time. Not only should you have a personal assistant, but she's what I call a pointer. That's because she's from Australia, and that's how it sounds. A pointer means she's constantly pointing. Like I say, you know what? I need this and this. I need all these things pressed and ready. I have these new suits that came in. I want to try three of them on because I'm going to be on this television show. She goes, I'll handle it immediately. I'll get it ironed. I'll iron it. So I go in the other room, and there she is. She got somebody else iron it for me. I thought, this woman has really got this thing down. See, she's got the mindset of it. That's why she can handle so much. Anyone who's going to succeed has to get that leverage. But also, there are pathways. There's certain things that are going to show up consistently in your life. Identify what those are. Figure out how to deal with them the best possible way. Like, create a list of what you wear on a trip. Here are my choices. I've even numbered all my suits. You go, you're anal. No, I don't want to sit in there and figure it out every time. So I got photographs, and I can look at them and give me that one, that one, that one. And those are the combinations, and they're numbered. The suits and the shirts and the ties and all that stuff, and I go, give me 1, 3, and 5. Boom, and I don't have to go find, I don't have to think it through. I don't have to go sit there and go, no, what am I going to wear next week? And I have certain things that I've standardized. We're going to talk more about this later, because wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be nice to get rid of all those little decisions, all those conversations, all that time you spent doing stuff that really doesn't matter in the long run, but we think is so important, or it's important, but, you know, not that important. Not doing it makes it more urgent and important. Does that make sense? Figure a way to leverage, because if you do that, you can finally arrive where we are now, ladies and gentlemen. The zone. That bullseye, that place of real fulfillment, that middle of the target that we're after, that place that if you spend more of your time there, not all of your time, you're not going to, but if you spend more of your time in that zone, I am telling you, you are going to feel great. You're going to achieve more, you're going to anticipate, and so you're not going to be in that stressful demand mode as much. You'll have a little balance in your life. Again, a bit of demand we want. We want some demand in there because it makes us feel juiced a little bit, a little strong. But you don't need to add extra urgency and importance in your life. Life will offer that to you on its own. This is part of creating a life management system. Do you get it? It's not just like looking at a target and saying, okay, where am I spending my time? It's saying, how could I construct my life so that I got more results and I had the feelings I really wanted to feel? So let's have you fill in this. Where did you spend time last week that was purely important but not urgent? There was no urgency. You just did it because it was important. And for some people, it's not a lot of time here. For other people, there is. What were the things you did that were really important? What did you do, for example, where there wasn't a demand on you? You just did it because it was right. Maybe you took some time and you really thought about your future and your career. Maybe you journaled for a while. Maybe you spent some real quality time with your kids. Maybe you spent some really great quality time with your spouse or your lover or your best friend. You know, maybe it was something you did where you really worked on your body. And it was proactive. It wasn't because you're 30 pounds overweight, so you know you got to do this. You got a sense of urgency. You got to make it happen because summer's coming. You got to somehow fit into this outfit. It was because, you know, you really want to take care of yourself. You know, where did you spend time doing things that were really important but not urgent? Go ahead and fill it out right now. Okay, we're back. So what was on your list of things that you did that were really important versus urgent and important versus just urgent versus not important and not urgent? What was the zone for you? Did you start work on a book that you don't have a deadline on? Did you write some pages? A friend of mine said, well, I sent out these birthday cards. They didn't wait till last minute and go, oh my God, a person's birthday. Oh my God, it's urgent, important. I got to do it. I got to do this. I got to handle it right now. They thought up front and said, who are some of my friends and how can I nurture them? One of my outcomes this week is to make sure I nurture my best friends. You know what? That doesn't feel very urgent, but, you know, let me think. Oh, one's got a birthday coming up. Oh, one's got this happening. Oh, I want to do this. I'm going to send him a card for no good reason. I'm going to write him a note that says, you know, I just want to send you this card for no good reason. It's not your birthday. I understand. It's not those things. I'm writing just to tell you I'm thinking about you. Wow, what's the impact of that on a relationship? What if you came home with a special note or a card, and it's for no reason except to say I love you? See, those things aren't very urgent. We usually have to have a Mother's Day or a Christmas or a Valentine's Day to remind us in our busy to-do list that we should add something meaningful to our to-do list so that someone else can sell some more cards, right? Because they've got some things they got to make happen. But you know what? Maybe you don't have to wait for them to prompt us. Maybe we don't need to react to the calendar. Maybe we can start coming from a place of what's important to us. Maybe, you know, you spent some time and you did something really great, like you just went on a walk right when you're in the middle of hustle and bustle of things, you're getting stressed, and you stop and say, you know what, I'm going to take a walk. And you breathe, and you felt yourself in nature. I found myself, even here in Fiji, I created such an aggressive schedule for myself that all of a sudden I said, you know what, I'm starting to not breathe here. You know, I need to remember, what's my ultimate outcome here? I want to have a great time while I make a difference. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take a little time right now, and I'm going to go on a short run. Not even a hard one. Just a short run. Let the wind blow in my hair. Smell the smell of the ocean and look around and experience a great state of gratitude. So now I'm in the zone to go do something else that's important, which is to be with you on these tapes. See, so often we forget what's most important. We start making urgency most important. You know, maybe planning is that. You know, I don't have time to plan. I just go get it all done. Well, if you keep getting it all done, you're always starting over again. You're never noticing the pathways of power. You're never figuring out how to leverage things. You're never discovering what really matters to you. And sooner or later, your life becomes about getting things done. You know, you get caught up in making a living instead of designing a life. That's really what we're about to do. This tape program is an example that you're giving yourself this week of something that I would say is pretty important. That's your whole life. But it's not very urgent for most people. Maybe it is for you. Maybe it was because you figured, I can't do this one more day the way I'm doing things. But maybe you're being a little bit more proactive. Proactivity, leadership. People who are leaders tend to do things that are important, not just urgent important. Managers, achievers get hooked into that. But if you're a leader, you think up front. What makes you a leader is you go there first. You go to the important places first. That's what gives you the capacity to lead yourself or anyone else. See, what I want you to do is I want you to get that feeling of realizing that you aren't wasting time when you're doing something that's important. That is the bullseye. That's where you want to spend more and more of your time. I mean, last night I took some of my friends and we did something that was pretty crazy and fun. Here in Fiji, there's a salt river. And I found there was a bridge on it. And a few years ago, I did something pretty nuts. I went out there and I decided, you know, it's not that deep a jump. And I checked the depth of the water. And we put on some life jackets and we jumped off the bridge into the salt river that was screaming, literally coming from the ocean. And it takes you down this area that looks like out of Africa into the salt lake. And so I took all my friends and I said, you know what? Let's go do something that's really important, but not very urgent. Not the kind of thing you usually put on your to-do list. Let's tonight, after dinner, let's go do this. And people are like, are you crazy? Are you nuts? And other people are like, oh, that sounds exciting. And we got out there, and it was pitch black, and we jumped into this water, and people screamed with joy like little kids again. And their souls were nurtured. You could just see it, and they're floating in their back, looking up at the stars, and feeling like at one with nature, and feeling that sense of excitement of something new, something that has such variety for them, so unique to their experience. But it nurtured them, and nurtured their sense of playfulness and fun, and they were laughing like little kids. And many of them came up to me and said, you know, that night was one of the most important nights of my life. That's something I'll never, ever forget. Now, we could have just hung out at the dinner table and talked, and there's nothing wrong with that either. But you know what? Maybe it's time to start thinking more creatively about how to do those things that are important in your life and seeing what that puts back into your life. I'm telling you, I know I'm a maniac. I know I'm all over your case about this stuff. It's because I want you to experience the juice. I don't want you to settle for a life you can manage. I want you to create a life that is extraordinary. And I know your life is extraordinary, but I want you to feel how extraordinary it is. And that means you got to direct your focus, your emotion, and your time more often to the things that matter most for you. That's where the more time is going to come from. So did you write down the number of hours that you spend in each of these activities? And by the way, most people, you know the list they can make the quickest? The urgent, important list. They can make that list quick. They remember urgency because they think everything's an urgent. And they can usually, if they're honest with themselves, they can make up the list that fits in that outer ring. You know, the stuff they did to escape, to try and feel good real quick. It's those other rings that they have difficulty with because they go, things that are urgent, not important. If it's urgent, it is important. Or things that are important, well, and not urgent, well, I did this and this. That's most people. But it may not be you. So my question is this. I want you to look now at your list, and I want you to estimate, and be as honest with yourself as you can be, okay? Estimate, what percentage of your time did you spend in the zone? What percentage of your time did you spend in urgent and important? What percentage of your time, not just hours, because you didn't remember everything you did, probably, but what percentage of your time did you think as you look at that in that area of delusion, where you were doing things that were urgent and responding to-do lists, but they weren't really important? And how much time did you spend just totally escaping? And remember, don't make yourself wrong. I want you to go on the internet and fool around. I want you to watch TV and go to movies. That's all great stuff. Let's just see what percentage of time you spent there, and then you'll see what the impact is on your body. You want to have all these choices. I am not about saying make your whole life this plan that you got to live by where you're always doing everything perfect. That's stupid and insane and not fulfilling. You want all the dimensions of your life. But you got to know the result of what percentages you're spending because this is what will give you a real breakthrough. So take a second right now and stop the tape and estimate what percentage of time in each one of these dimensions. Go for it. Okay, now We're back. What did you discover? What were the ratios for you? And maybe I should ask you this question first. Last week, were you stressed or was it an amazing week for you? Was it a totally fulfilling week or was it a very stressful week? Because if you had either one of those extremes, I already know what your general percentages will be in terms of these zones. Because, again, I've done this with people from 65 countries. So, you know, you see the patterns. It becomes obvious. But you tell me, if you were stressed, I'd be willing to bet that the percentage of time in the zone was very limited, meaning doing things that are just important but not urgent. That you spent a lot of time doing things that were urgent and important as a percentage of your time, a lot of time doing things that were urgent that you made important but really didn't have to be, and probably a certain amount of time trying to escape from the pain of those two other circles in distraction. Now, here's the key. The key is if you were fulfilled, I know you spent the majority of your time, a good portion of it in the zone. And I'll tell you the percentages since I'm not in front of you, but what I've learned by doing these seminars around the world. People that have an extraordinarily stressful life will spend an average of somewhere between 10 and 20, maybe even 25% of their time in the zone. Things that are really important to them, but they don't have urgency. They're just doing it because it's great, because they know it makes sense. People that are stressed have a huge percentage of time in urgent and important. And usually that range can be anywhere from 40 to 80%. And then you see people that are doing a lot of urgent things where percentages are high and a lot of distraction. People that are fulfilled spend 40, 50, 60, sometimes 70% of their time in the zone. And they're not BSing you. It's really true. And I'm one of those people. For the most part of my life, I stay in that 50 to 60% of the zone. Sometimes it'll drop to 40, and that's like the edge for me. And I like to have it in the 60% to 70% range. And you got to be really honest with yourself to see that that's really true. That to me is like planning, designing, thinking, creating something new, finding a way to make things better within the company, sitting down with people, sitting down with my friends, spending time with my kids, talking to my wife about things that really matter, helping people work on their dreams, thinking about using all my skills, all my desires, all my passions, or just taking time for myself to go work out or run or think. I spend at least 50% of my time there consistently, and the few times I've been stressed, I've allowed the thing to drop below the 40% mark. Rarely do I allow it to get to 10 or 20, and I've had times where someone else is making demands on my time that I had to do. That was huge, and what I've done in those situations is very often I started going, oh my God, this demand is here, I have to do this, and I thought, wait a second, I don't have to do anything, I'm choosing to do it. So I got to shift my mindset, I got to shift my focus from the wall to what do I want. How can I take advantage of this demand and turn it into my opportunity? How can I turn this into something that matters to me? Like, you know what? I'm going to use this to figure out a way to figure a solution so I don't have to end up here again. Now I'm going to do something important. You know, what can I pull from this that'll be of value to myself and other people I care about? People I'm going to teach, I'm going to share with. And all of a sudden, I turn the tables. I remember one time I was caught up in this event, and I was caught up with some partners in a business, and all of them got sued, and I got pulled in with it because I was a partner with them. I had nothing to do with this aspect of the business. So I got to sit through an arbitration for a week, and it was day and night, and it was very frustrating, and it looked like, since I was one of the partners in the firm, and I had the largest personal assets, that when this other team of people, if they won, that they'd end up coming after me because I'd be the one who could pay it off. And so I was very stressed. And I found myself spending all my time doing urgent, important things like finding documents and interviewing people and talking to lawyers and doing all this stuff. And it had to be done right now. And it was urgent and important. I was stressed because it could affect my life. And it was like unfair and unjust and stressful. And in the middle of it, I thought, you know what? I am feeling totally stressed because my whole focus is on things I can't control. And I'm focusing constantly on things that are urgent and important. I said, you know what I got to do tonight when this is done? I need to think, what could I go do that would be really important for my life? And I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm building a series of companies. I'm interested in merging a public company I know of with a private company. I'm going to fly to New York City, and I'm going to meet with Allen & Company, one of the top investment firms, and I'm going to tell them what my goals are and spend time with them to see, get their coaching on what they think I should be doing to achieve some of my goals. They're the smartest people in business. And I'm going to get back on the plane in the middle of the night and fly back here. And I thought, so everybody around me said, you're insane. You can't do that. You can't leave in the middle of the night, come there, and come back. I said, yes, I can. And what was amazing was I flew there. I had a meeting that evening with a bunch of core people there. We all talked. It was a great strategy. And it was a late meeting. I arranged all the details in advance. I got out of the arbitration early in the afternoon there, so it got me there. I turned right back around, and I found out the next morning I didn't have to be back. I didn't have to be in the arbitration until the afternoon. So I had enough time to fly back, make it happen, but I came back with a plan that would cause me to do the things I love, that was extremely important to me, that actually turned out to be a huge business deal for me later, and it was something that I had been thinking about but not doing forever. I'd had the opportunity to meet with these people for a long time. And now I came back with this way that even if this person won this arbitration, and even if I got stuck with it, I figured a way just in that night I'd earn about 5 or 10 times more, somewhere in that range, depending on how the deal would show up, than what this arbitration would ever get if we were found as being wrong and if I got stuck with it. So what happened for me is I went from total stress to being in the zone. You say, yeah, but you had to fly to New York and come back. Yeah, but you know what? I thought about it on the way as I worked in my journal. And I sat down with my system and I said, what do I really want for my business life in these areas? And what can these people tell me? So when I walked to the meeting, I could be totally effective and efficient in articulating what I really wanted, why I wanted it. Sound familiar? OPA. And instead of saying, here's my action plan, I said to these guys, here are some ideas I thought of as a plan, but you guys know better than I do. What would you do with me? And then I got to hear them. Since I was clear on my outcome and I was clear on my purpose, it was easy for them to coach me. And on the way back, I was juiced out of my mind. Time disappeared. I wasn't stuck on a 5-hour flight. I was free. I was like, wow, think about this. And I walked in the arbitration the next day, totally strong. And in the end, guess what? We won the arbitration. Now, I would have been sitting there stressing out, worrying, focusing on the things I couldn't control, being upset. I mean, that would have been stupid. And I would have died 1,000 deaths because of my focus. Instead, I said, you know what? If I lose, I lose. In the future, I'm going to structure my business deal so that if I'm not directly involved in the company, I'm not a general partner. I don't want to be in that position. So I learned something that will be really valuable for the future. And I went off and did something more important. Do you follow me on this? Don't get under the illusion that you're not in control. There are certain things you can't control. But the one thing you can control most is what things mean to you. That's what you can always control, the state of mind you're going to be in. And you can make a new choice right now to take yourself from urgency and urgency and importance to the zone just by making some decisions, by stopping the illusion that you have to do everything on your to-do list or that your to-do list even matters, by coming back to what really matters for your life. And our next session is going to help you really begin to identify that, help you create your life plan. But I wanted you to get these dimensions first. Are they making sense to you? So again, what's the rule of thumb you want to leave this session with? The rule of thumb is you want to get your life as quickly as possible so you're spending at least 50% of your time in the zone. That's ideal. Now, by the way, I know some people that are spending like 90% of their time in the zone, and they're not happy either. I found that there is an extreme. You know, I have some friends, one of them decided to move to Maui and live in Maui, and all he did was meditate and exercise and hang out and spend time with his friends, and it was interesting. He was really happy for a while, but after a while, he lost some of the juice. Because we want some demands. We want our muscles to be used mentally and emotionally and spiritually. And he wasn't challenging himself enough that, you know, those kind of muscles got flabby and he was imbalanced. So what's interesting is a bunch of his friends were saying, what are you doing with your life? You're just wasting away. And he was like, no, I'm doing what's important to me. What he was really doing was escaping. He was using important things as a way to escape from the fact that he was afraid of failing. You know, at one point, he needed a little balance. So life is not so black and white. You know, it's not like you don't want to spend time in urgent important. You do. It's an important thing to be under demand. That's how you're going to build those mental, emotional, spiritual muscles, as I've already said. But don't add more than you need. And make sure you now organize your life to spend more time in the zone. And if you're telling me I can't, I don't have the time, I want to tell you something. Stop that incantation. It's destructive. Telling yourself, I don't have time, I don't have time, I don't have time, I don't have time. I just don't have the time. And you'll never find it. Because just like the salt, your brain will never see where that is. Give yourself the freedom you deserve. You have the time. What you got to look at is, remember when we started this session, I said, what are the things you'd do if you had more time? Now look at the number of hours you spend in things that really don't matter. Look at not just the distraction dimension, but also look at those urgent things you really didn't have to do. Look at the number of hours. I'd be willing to bet you're going to find 3 hours in there, and more likely it's 10, 12, 14, 15 hours if you're really honest with yourself. And you know what? If you had 10 or 15 or even 20 hours, some people are doing work they don't have to do. Or if you said, you know what? I'm going to listen to this guy. He's a little crazy, but this leverage thing makes sense. I mean, you know what? I'm going to stop telling myself I can't do this. And I'm going to find a way to get other people to do the things in my life that are maintenance. You know, why should I spend an hour a week cleaning my house? You know, or an hour a day or 5 hours a day? What could I do with my life if I had somebody else do that? And by the way, now I'm providing opportunity, I'm providing employment, and in my case, I see it as also providing education because that person's around me and they're seeing what I'm doing and how I think and what processes I do and how I negotiate and how I create something. So that person can get tremendous value for their life while they're giving me tremendous value. And the secret is when you do leverage things, let people know how much you appreciate it. Never take it for granted. Never say, oh, that person is my personal assistant, or they're my maid, or they're my cook, or they're my whatever. And by the way, cooking. my wife, you know, I just saw how much time she spent. She was stressed. She didn't like that. So I said, why don't we get a cook? And when I didn't have the money to have a cook. I said, let's get somebody from the outside. Let's figure out how much we're spending just trying to go out so you don't have to cook. And let's see if we had somebody outside and we just had 3 meals a week or 2 meals a week that were brought in. You know, what if we had somebody just the weeks that we're home because we travel a lot? There is a way. You got to develop a belief structure. And that there's always a way if you're really committed. If you know what you want and you have a big enough reason, man, you can figure out the plan of how to get it done. As long as you don't incant over and over what you can't do. Because you can. Am I making sense? I mean, think about it. If you have people, this is what I've got. I've got my personal assistant. I have my executive assistants at the office. I have my cook. I have the person as the maid who keeps the house impeccable. And guess what that does? That means my wife doesn't have to come home and do those things. That means when we come home, the food's already there. We don't have to go out unless we choose to. Everything is absolutely impeccable and beautiful and wonderful, and we can be together. We don't have to run off and worry about those things. And she doesn't come to me, Roger, and say, this and this and this and this and this. And if she does, I listen and I say, which of those things are really important? Which of those are urgent? Urgent ones, let's figure out who's going to handle those. Important ones, let me handle. See, my belief is I'm a strategist. And what a strategist does is they don't spend more time and energy on something than it deserves based on meeting your needs as a human being, not me, Tony Robbins, nobody else. You might say, Tony, what fulfills me most is reading those magazines. I like reading the horoscope the day after so I can see how accurate it was. That's cool with me. Do whatever you want. I'm not asking you to adopt my belief structures, but be smart. Make sure you're living based on your terms. And I want to tell you something. A lot of you people have spent your whole life, because you're achievers like me, right? Becoming a doer, a man or woman who can do anything. That's why you get your significance from that, your sense of accomplishment. Look at all the things I do. Well, you can do all those things and still be unhappy. You can do all those things and be stressed. Don't settle for being a doer. And you know what? I got caught up in this. I have a really brilliant friend who's part of my kind of kitchen cabinet, a man who's 55 years old. I'm 38. And this group of people I go talk to, and they're my friends. And they give me a picture. They're some of the most successful people in the world at what they do. And one day I was saying to him, I was saying, you know, I love my life so much, and I'm so fulfilled, and I've organized my life so well now. I said, you know, I think maybe I'm not as hungry as I was when I first started. I mean, I used to run through a wall. I used to do this and this and this and this and this. He goes, Tony, I remember you like that, and you were hard to be around. He said, you're so busy doing, you weren't thinking things through. You weren't taking the time. He said, it's not that you're less driven. It's that you're now more elegant. He said, now what happens is you get more done with less effort. You know, when I first met you, you didn't know how to turn off. You didn't know how to relax. He said, we went on this river trip together down the Colorado River, and there were a whole series of very powerful and famous people on the trip. And at one point, I was curled up on a rock at the end of this thing, and I fell asleep, and I just really enjoyed myself. And I didn't compete to say, oh, here's what I'm doing. And I listened and hung out, and I woke up, and these people, four of these men were standing above me, looking down on me. One of them's a top coach in the NBA. Another one's a famous movie producer. Another one's an actor. Another gentleman's a really successful businessman. They're all looking at me, out my eyes, and they're smiling. And I said, you know what? We want to know what's your secret. I said, what are you talking about? They said, how is it you can turn off and relax? I mean, you're the most centered person here. And I thought, you obviously aren't around me on a daily basis. Man, I'm doing this and this and this. They go, no, but we want to know your secret. And it was interesting, because earlier in the week, I was thinking, man, some of these people I'm just meeting for the first time, and I'm not being the life of the party, but I didn't want to be. On that trip, I decided my outcome was to relax and enjoy, and to really do that for real. And I thought, well, these people, we're never going to really connect. They're going to think I'm boring or something. And I found out, wow, this is something people recognize, people who live in the zone. And they want that peace. They want that sense of peace and the passion. You can be one of those people. All you got to do is make some new choices. So again, I hammered this session forever because it's so important. These first foundations of these first couple of sessions are laying the philosophy through which you can now begin to design a life plan. Because I want to tell you something. I used to think, oh, everything is just doing. Well, you know, most of my life was ready, fire, aim. And what I've really learned to do is ready, aim. Is this what I really want? Now, fire everything you got. But it's worth taking the time to make sure you're going after what you want, because otherwise you get what you were after. And you wake up and say, is this all there is? That's the place you want to avoid. So let's go for the fulfillment. Let's take it to the next level. Start looking at your life, maybe for the next few weeks. Once again, if you want more clarity on this, it's really simple. Go to our OPA site and take a look at some of the examples of other people's plans or projects, or what we call pathways to power, the ways other people have gotten a result that maybe you're looking after. Or come again to one of our live seminars. Come to a More Time seminar. They're inexpensive. They're held throughout the United States. Just contact our offices, and they'll get you a schedule. But for right now, you understand this. Give yourself a little more credit. Once you do it a couple times, you'll get better at it, and pretty soon you'll know you have it. Now here's your assignment, though, to make sure we take some action out of this. Wait a second. I just realized, before I give you assignment, just one more thing. That's one of my famous phrases, just one more thing. Let me give you one other quick model. You go, another model? Am I going to be here for 3 more hours? No, relax. It's okay. It's cool. It's very simple. I call it the control model. Remember, what's the basis of everything we believe? More time comes not by changing your schedule, but changing your level of fulfillment. When you love what you're doing, time disappears. When you feel like you're out of control and you hate what's going on, time lasts forever. It's an eternity to experience a minute, right? So one other thing to think about in terms of where you spend your time, which means where you spend your focus and emotion, and that is look at the additional target I put there for you, because there's another target. You want to do things that are important but not urgent, but you also want to make sure that you're spending your time, your emotion, your focus on things you can control, not things you can't control. And by the way, if you see there's 3 targets, what's the absolute bullseye in the control model? It's doing things that you absolutely control. What's that? Yourself. What's that? What you focus on. What's that? What you feel inside. You get to determine how you feel no matter what somebody says or does in your life. We often forget that, but we're in control of that. And if you don't know that, pick up one of my other tape sets like Personal Power, or the 10 Days to Change Your Life, and get emotionally fit and strong and notice that there is nothing in your life that you're going to feel that you aren't creating and that you can't change literally in a heartbeat if you want to. What else can you control? Well, you can control what your attitude is about something. You can control completely what things mean to you. Remember, you can't control all events. You can't control the weather. See, I used to stress myself out here in Fiji, my favorite place to go, and I have friends coming. It's their first time. And I'd be like, oh my gosh, yeah, but will the weather be good? You know, because I don't want it to rain, because, you know, it could rain for 2 or 3 days, and they're only going to be here for 5 or 6. And if it rained for 2 or 3 days like that, then they wouldn't have the greatest time. And I want them the very best time, because I want everybody to be happy all the time. And I used to be nuts about it, as if I could control the weather, as if stressing about it would make it even slightly better. I was an idiot. Have you ever done something like that? I'll tell you another thing you can't control, and it's stupid to waste time on, the past. I mean, think about it. To spend any time, no matter how stressful the past was, whether it was abusive or whether it was challenging, doesn't matter. You can't change the past, so why would you spend any time, which means any focus, which means any of your emotion, about something you cannot control? All that is a recipe for what? Stress. A major stress. And that stress is going to keep you out of being in the zone and feeling the important feelings and doing the important things that matter to you. What's the second circle there? Well, if you're not totally in the zone of what you can control, the next best thing is things you can influence. What can you influence? Well, people. You know, there are a lot of people you can influence in a positive way. Your kids. Can you really control your kids long term? Nada. We all know that if we're honest with ourselves, but we can influence them. We can influence their beliefs and their values. Can't control them, but can influence them. That's the job of a leader, is to influence, not to control everyone. You never will. You can try and control everybody through fear, but it never lasts. Or incentives. That doesn't last. You got to influence people to meet their needs at the deepest level. That's what will make you a leader. Doing something for a greater good and for those people, whether those people be your kids or the people in your organization, the people that you manage, the people you call your friends, you can influence there. And the better you are at influencing yourself, the better you are at shaping your own mind and emotions, the more you'll be able to help other people in a way that has integrity and caring and the kinds of emotions that really matter to you. You might be able to influence the company. You might be able to influence the country. But there are certain things that fall in that third category where you get 0 points. And that is things you can't control and you can't influence. And what's that? The weather. What's that? The past. What's that? Anything in your life that you, if you're honest with yourself, know is a complete waste of your lifeblood called time to spend time on. So here's going to be your assignment for this day. 2 assignments. Number one, let's start with this little control model. What I want you to do is I want you to think for a moment, and I want you to write down what are the things you spend time on that are on the edge of this target. Things you can't control and you can't influence, like the weather, like the past, or whatever it is for you. What are some of those things that you just can't control but you keep wasting time on? Write that down, number one. The second assignment you'll see listed there for you is, write down why it is stupid, ridiculous, insane to spend time and emotion on something you cannot control. See, what you have to do is you got to come up with a new belief, a sentence or two. And for me, it's like I'll say, it's not worth being stressed about. It's not worth focusing on this when I can't control it. Or I'll just say, I can't control that. Let me focus on what I can control. So, for example, here in Fiji, I said, okay, I can't control the weather. And by the way, it does rain every now and then. That's why it's green, thank God. It's not a desert. So instead of stressing, what I did is I got a bunch of new things. I got toys that people could play with in the water, some boats and some wave runners and things they could do even if it was raining. I got a brand new pool table. I found all these cool little activities. I figured out a waterfall hike we could do that's under the canopy of the rainforest. I got some things so that people could go out in the water and be outdoors and have a blast. So I said, those are things I can control, and now people can still have a great time if they choose to. That's what I could really shape instead of worrying about the weather. Does that make sense? So I want you to write down, one, what is it you spend time on that's a waste of time to focus on because you can't control it, can't influence it? Two, why is it silly, ridiculous, stupid, insane to spend time on that? Three, what's your new belief? What are you going to believe? What's a simple phrase that you're going to start making an incantation about in your head? That this is a waste of my time, not going to do anymore. I've set a new standard for myself. And then fourthly, I want you to write down all the things that are really important to you. Really important that you don't currently do. Maybe just start with a little list you wrote down. Remember the more time part where I said if you had more time, what would you spend time on? Maybe what step number four is go into your list of what you wrote down you did last week and make a note of the things that really aren't important, they're not urgent, or they're urgent, not important, that you could get rid of, and see if you can't find enough hours there alone to call today. This is your assignment. Today. Tomorrow at the very latest. I'd rather have you do it today. I believe that whenever you set a goal, don't leave the sight of setting that goal without doing something towards its attainment. Call somebody. Get on the internet. Write a note. Write a letter. Schedule it. Do something to make sure that one of those things on your list actually happens. For example, Roger's here because I said one time, you know, I'm so busy, all these things, and I created what you're going to learn in the next session, some categories of my life, and one of those was emotional juice. And I thought, you know what? I don't just want to make my voice better. I'd really like to be able to sing. There's no use for it. I'm going to scare people if I get up and do that. But you know what? The use of it is it's fun. It's an area of my life. So sure enough, I said, you know what? I'm not just going to talk about this. I'm going to absolutely get this done immediately. And I took immediate action to find somebody who was the best at what they did and hire them and get them to come work with me. And then I thought, how can I do this in a way that's fun for him and fun for me? And I said, well, bring him to Fiji. I'll work on the tape program, and then I'll get to do this looking out at the ocean with him. So this process of thinking can give you more rewards. So I know I've given you four things to do again instead of one simple thing. But you know what? You can do what I just described in 10 minutes. So don't make it more complex than it is. And if you don't want to do them all, I'm fine with that. But I think you can find great value in at least, at the very minimum, do two of these. Make sure you identify the stuff you're wasting your emotion on, focusing on, and decide, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to focus on stuff I can't control and I can't influence and stress about it, and identify those things. And take a stand. Set a standard. And then secondly, look at your list of where you spend your time. Look at what you want to spend your time on and decide today, I'm going to spend less time. Instead of watching 2 hours of TV a night, I'm going to watch TV 2 hours twice a week. I'm going to take those other 6 hours and guess what I'm going to do? 3 singing lessons, 5 singing lessons, 3 dance lessons. I'm going to learn to play polo. I'm going to hire somebody to teach me to paint. I'm going to learn to speak Italian. I'm going to go out and spend some fun time with friends that I tell I can't spend time with because I'm so busy all the time. I'm going to focus on a project at work that I really want to focus on because it's fun for me in those 6 hours a week. What could you do 6 hours a week, 24 hours in a month? What could you do over the course of a year with an extra 300 hours or so? You know, what could you do with an extra 30 days to your life, 8-hour working days? I mean, get a reality check on where you're spending your time, and wherever you're spending it, I'm fine with it. Make sure you're fine with it. Make sure that this incredible commodity that everyone has equality on. What is that commodity? Time. That's the only thing that's equal for people. Make sure this incredible asset, this incredible commodity is being used and invested in a way that gives you what you deserve. And one more thing. Don't treat things as absolutes. See, some of the stuff right now that you're saying, oh my God, it's urgent and important, like I got to do all these things all day long. Maybe they're just important and you're just manufacturing the urgency. Maybe it really is time in the zone. If you weren't stressed, if you didn't feel like you had to do it, and you realized, I get to do what I do for a living, then all of a sudden, maybe it's important and not urgent. Maybe you're more in the zone just by making one little simple belief system shift, one change in the language of what you say to yourself. Because we literally can change from being stressed about something to loving it just by changing what we notice or appreciate or decide to believe about it. So maybe the time at work that right now is urgent and important, if you love it, maybe it's just important. And if you're proactive in your planning, it will be important. I'm telling you, OPA will pull you into the zone. It's going to keep making you ask yourself, what's most important to me? Why do I want to do it? And when you say why I want to do it instead of why I have to do it, that can take you from urgent and important right into the zone sometimes with a little planning. So truthfully, you're in the zone whenever you acknowledge it. Whenever you realize that you're grateful. Whenever you realize, I love what I'm doing right now. And look around you and say, man, there was a time in my life when I would have begged to have this opportunity. This thing I'm calling stress, the thing I think is so urgent, I don't have to do it. I want to do it. Wow, maybe I'm really in the zone. And all of a sudden, it's like magic. You've gone from stress to fulfillment just by making one little psychological shift. Remember, the difference in people's success or failure is not what they do. It's their psychology about how they're thinking and feeling and what they're doing. I'll tell you one more thing to think about and would be great to pursue. And that is, how can you get more leverage? What are some of the things you're doing right now that you could get somebody else to do? Maybe you could trade for, like Tina did. And by the way, I'll give you an example. I just talked to Roger, and he was saying, my gosh. He said, I was feeling frustrated earlier, but you know what? This is so simple. I'm going to go out immediately and get somebody to do those things I don't need to do. And he got excited. But I'll tell you what's making him excited. He's making decisions. He isn't just thinking about it. He's doing something. So don't leave the sight of setting a goal or learning new information that you know is valuable without taking immediate action towards its attainment. So decide what you're going to do to get leverage, or call somebody, or get on the internet, or brainstorm a plan of how you can trade with somebody. Do something immediately to start creating that leverage. All right? Have I dumped enough on you for another session? I promise not to do as much in the next session, but I probably will violate it. But I can promise you there'll be some short sessions here if you'll stay with me. I know there's a lot to absorb here, but this is your life. We're doing the things right now that are important and not urgent. And that will lead to not just short-term good feelings, but long-term what you desire and what you deserve. So thanks for spending the time with me. I look forward to seeing you for tomorrow's session. But do your little exercise here, and I look forward to talking with you soon. This is Tony Robbins saying once again, live with passion.